Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 89 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, this time during the warm-up, to meet the people that make theater happen. You can find all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, other fine podcast streaming services, so go back there and fill your boots, and if you have a spare 30 seconds, please do rate and review us. Help us be more discoverable to listeners who have not heard about us yet. And now for this week's podcast. Rafe Spall can currently be seen in the latest blockbuster from the Jurassic stable, and you might even catch me right at the beginning of the film, too. I may or may not get eaten. There are no spoilers in this podcast. Rafe is fantastic in the film, playing a scheming businessman trying to bend his immediate world to his doing, selling all those lovely dinosaurs to the highest bidder. And I suppose the same thing could be said about his role in Hedda Gabler. I mean, no dinosaurs there, but when he was playing the unnerving puppet master Judge Brack, orchestrating the downfall of, well, pretty much everyone else in the Ibsen classic, with Ivo Van Hove pulling out every bit of charismatic suave machismo from Spall. It was just a commanding performance, and one that I won't forget in a long time. And I'm really happy that I'm able to bring you this little chat we had as the rest of the cast were warming up on stage. It's not that he didn't warm up, he did. He just, I caught him in between stretches. I got to sit down with him and talk about Ivo Van Hove's rehearsal process, the intricacies of trying to look cool at all times on stage, and avoiding slip-ups on rose petals. You'll have to listen to the podcast to see what I mean. And just what it takes to come back to the stage as not only a theater professional, but a theater professional with a young family. Now, just to warn you, there are some swearing in this episode, so if you are listening with kids in the car, you're going to have some splaining to do. Have a listen. When I was listening to Ivo and Patrick, they were talking about the rehearsal process and how kind of unconventional it may have been to other processes,
yeah,
that she'd been through, or the other cast members, you and your cast members have been through. So was it that unusual for you?
It's definitely a different way of approaching rehearsing a play. You know, there is a definitely a set rhythm in this country of how we do those things. Certain amount of time that we usually get, 4 to 6 weeks, and obviously, as I'm sure you've been told, we had under 2 weeks of doing 11 till 3 in the afternoon, so not a lot of time whatsoever, and you're asked to know all your lines before you come. You rehearse in costume on an approximation of the set with sound cues from the first day, so it's definitely a different way of doing things.
That's was it disconcerting when you because I mean, I've never, yeah, never had to be off book from day one.
But you're not, of course you're not, because you learn the first half, and then as you're rehearsing, you can carry on learning.
Sure.
So you get a head start. I mean, I generally try and learn as much as I can before I start anyway, because it gives you an extra week or so of rehearsal. But look, it's definitely hairy. By the time we did our first few previews, I like 90% knew the lines. So genuinely, you know, there will be terrifying moments, but it means that you have to, you bring a lot to it of yourself, and you bring. I mean, at the risk of being platitudinous, like your A game from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know.
So you have to commit, don't you?
You do. But it's a thrilling experience because you really feel like you're at the forefront of something. I don't know what that something is, but it's definitely something. It's a total thrill to be working with. With someone of his imagination, and although it's hairy, and it definitely is scary, there is something wonderfully comforting in being a part of someone's extremely clear, bold vision.
Yeah.
Because you soon figure out what your role is within the orchestra. And that is a very clearly defined role. He doesn't force down your throat what that role is. He leaves it to you to work out. But when you work out what that role is, it's up to you to sharpen it as you go through the run.
Cool. And you, because it is from you rehearse in so you talk about that sharpening, but like if you rehearse this in sequence, as it were,
yeah,
where you kind of get in that, you say that two weeks, you rehearse the play. You don't go, do you go back and go over what you rehearsed before? Is it just
so like, for instance, the bit when I spit tomato juice all over Ruth, that huge scene at the end, we did that twice.
Oh my god.
And we run the play once.
Oh my god.
In the rehearsal room.
So you're fine. So you were fine when you, like, that first time, even. Oh my god. That kind of gives me chill bumps thinking about.
Yeah, me too. And, you know.
Go out the right.
It's, but it wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad. It wasn't so bad. It focuses you, that's for sure.
Yeah. And in this, in the text, you know, this modern version, like, you know, I don't know if you were familiar. I studied it.
Yeah.
You know, at university.
Yeah.
And seen a production before, but this paired that version with this modern text.
Yeah.
It was so much more accessible.
Yeah.
And, you know, did you find anything new, or were you aware of the script?
When I'd read Christopher Hampson's version,
right,
which is far more loquacious.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about this version is it's very close to the literal translation.
Yeah.
And it has been the prerogative of different interpreters to adorn the text. It's not a negative thing, it's a wonderful thing, it's a good thing. But this is a totally unadorned text.
Yeah.
And it's been it's a challenge.
Mm.
It's a challenge. It's a challenging adaptation and a challenging text to perform.
Your physicality. I think there's a lot that's said. Basically, Patrick's kind of gone, don't need to say that. Don't need to say that, because there's so much in the physicality. Everyone has their own physicality on this day, and just the way you move is incredible. Like how you just, there's a swagger, a saunter. You just kind of go, oh god, I don't know what this guy is. Well, you kind of know through his physicality what he's capable of.
Yeah.
You don't know when he's going to do, or if he's going to do anything.
Yeah.
And I found that interesting. What wasn't said?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's but what that is an exercise in precision, because on a space this huge, this exposing, this bare, any mannerism or gesture that isn't full and powerful makes one immediately look weak.
Yeah.
Which means that, rather hilariously, a few times I've been trying to be as sexy as hell and I've slipped on a flower. Which just like blows that shit out of the water. Like I did it on Saturday night. I was like doing the suavest walk ever over to the sofa, and it went and slipped right over. So it's like, well, that's just blown the whole fucking thing. So that's funny, but it's, you know, it's not a way, it's not a style in which I'm used to performing, but it's definitely made me, it's added stuff to my arsenal.
Yeah, it's cool you say that about the space, because it is a massive stage for the size of the cast.
When we first got on it, I was like, this is ridiculous. So it just means that every movement needs to count.
Yeah.
Because I do a lot of walking up and down, walking around this huge thing, and every walk and everything has to mean something. Because if it's in any way muddy, it's it means that you're playing an off note in your role in the orchestra.
Yeah. Yeah. And you just the travelling that you do from you know, the entrance is off stage and from the back
And also, we you know, I have a thing when I'm right at the back of the stalls and I'm talking to her across, 600 people or whatever, and that's It's odd. It's odd. It's been an odd experience.
Well, you guys definitely, you talk about being in an orchestra, the symphony is definitely working and
good.
It's, you all are in tune. Last question.
Yeah.
You don't mind. And I ask everyone this.
About, yeah.
You know, we all have our, you know, film and television, whatever, careers and credits and everything. But, you know, theater, there's an itch that definitely needs to be scratched every now and then. What is it for you that brings you back to the theater? Like, you know, we're sitting on Littleton stage and, like, there's such a magical place. What is it that
it is.
Brings you here, you know, and makes you go, I have to be on stage. I need to do this role.
That's a very good question. And I think and the answer is that it's totally inexplicable. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because it's a huge pain in the fucking ass. It really is. You know, I've got three young children.
Yeah.
All under five. And
wow.
It's killing me. And I go for 1 minute to be like, this is it. I'm never going to do a fucking play again. I can't do this for at least another 10 years unless because I genuinely believe also that the stress and the pressure of opening a play takes a year off your life expectancy.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I'm like, I want to play all the great parts and I want to do them on stage, and my theatre career is the thing that I'm proudest of.
Yeah.
It's the thing that I can hold my head up high about and know that as grand as it may seem, a statement, not everyone can do it. So to know that you can do something that not everyone can do is a nice feeling, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's bloody hard. And you know, but there is the feeling that you get from standing on a stage in front of 900 people, disturbing the particles in such a way in between you and that group of people that you nor them will never forget that moment. And you know that, and you can feel that in real time. And that's as high as this shit gets.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's insustainable with young children. That's for sure.
Right, thank you very much.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Rafe Spall there, as just before he went on stage, as Judge Brack in Hedda Gabler at the National Theater. And that happened last year. If you are a theater professional, you need to head on over to curtaincallonline.com and set up a free page or sign up for a free profile page. That's right. The operative word here is free. All you have to do is create an account with an email address, make up a cool password, and away you go. You can follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at Curtain Call, all one word, all lowercase. We'd love to hear from you if you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast. Just get in touch with me via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me at john@curtaincallonline.com. That's John with an H. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Rafe Spall, the National Theater, and the entire company of last year's Hedda Gabler that was on stage at the Littleton. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Suffs. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SufsMusical.com.